And take our Bibles tonight, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. So continue on in our series in the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to see the emphasis is being taken off of David this evening in this chapter and placed upon Saul one last time. This is right before Saul is getting ready to pass away, the night before Saul passes away. And here you'll see that Saul goes and he begins to ask God something, and for some reason God won't respond. And tonight we're going to talk about some reasons why God will not listen. You say, that seems a little contrary to what always been taught. God will always hear from us. Well, the Bible teaches us there are some different things, sin especially, and some different types of sin, that God will no longer listen to us. And tonight when we go through the Bible, we're going to be looking at some different passages of scriptures. We're going to see here tonight that Saul went and he says, I guess can't hear from the Lord anymore. And when he doesn't get the answer he wants from God, or he feels like God's not listening anymore, he actually turns away from God and turns to the devil. And he actually visits a witch or a person that does seances, and it's a lady with a familiar spirit. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. But the main purpose of tonight's message is reasons why God won't listen. Let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Let's look here first to begin with in verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse number 1, and it came to pass in the days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel, and Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, now thou and thy men. Remember last week we turned around, talked about how David became discouraged. David got a little bit discouraged in his work and being out in the field and trying to do what was right, and it seemed like nothing was going right for him. Even though God delivered him time after time, he got discouraged. He says, all I can do is just go back to the world. He said, I'm just going to go back to the Philistines. He says, that's the only place I can get a little bit relief. And last week we encouraged you and tried to drive this point home. Yes, things may be hard and things may be tough, but don't turn away from God. Because when you turn away from God, you're going to see that as nothing but headed towards trouble. And here last week we saw David here. He is sitting in the camp of the Philistines. King Achish is getting ready to attack Israel. And he goes to David and says, you got my back, right? You're going to go and fight your people for me. And David's like, yes, I will. Imagine the man who was so disgusted with Goliath would take the stone and put it in the sling and destroy Goliath. Just because of the fact he was mocking God. Now he's getting ready to put on his sword and go and get ready to fight his own family members and his own countrymen. Look how far depression and sin will take you. Look how far, if you get into the world, it's like joining the enemy. And as you join the enemy, you're no longer neutral. You're actually hurting the cause of Christ. And this is what happened with David. And David, this king asked Achish, and look at what it says in verse number 2, David responds. David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of my own head. It's saying, David, you're going to be my personal bodyguard. So David, I'm going to exalt your position up. I know what you can do, and I am going to give you this position. Now, in chapter 29, you're going to see the story pick up for David and Achish and what happens there. But we're going to focus tonight on what the problem Saul has. Look in verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead. Now, all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards and out of the land. Now, Saul, he started off well. We talked about that. We talked about how Saul did good at the beginning, and he did what God had told him about. If you hear these things about wizards and witches and all these things, if you go back in the Bible says they're an abomination to God. You see these TV shows that desensitize us, and we think that there's good witches, and we think there's bad witches, and we think that there's familiar spirits and seances and things like that. Well, the Bible here, you know, if you go back to what the Bible says that they were supposed to get rid of all of them. You were supposed to destroy all of them. And Saul, he throws them out of the land at the beginning. But we see here in verse number 4, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunah. And Saul gathered all the Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Now, so they're getting ready to have a battle. They're getting ready to have a war, a fight. And what does Saul realize he finally needs? he realizes, hey, I need God's help. And when things got hard and when things got tough, Saul, who has been living for himself year after year after year, making decisions contrary to what God desires, wasting his life away, going after and traveling after David and trying to seek him out like an animal. And now he says, hey, look, I know something. I can't go out and fight these Philistines on my own. Even David is over there. I know I'm going to lose the battle. And we see here in verse number five, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. Verse number six, if I had a text verse tonight, would be the spot there. It says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. See, Saul desired to hear what God was going to say. He desired to say, God to tell him, this is what you need to do to be able to defeat the Philistines. But the truth of the matter, Saul's heart wasn't right with God. He wasn't willing to get everything completely right with God, and said he's just seeking the Lord for his own benefit. Christian, that's so often, so much, I think we get in our own lives. When we get to God and we look to God, and only time we ever look to God is when there's some type of horrible trouble and horrible problem. But I tell you, the time comes when we have so much sin in our heart and so much problems in our life that when we really, truly need to get a hold of God, he's just not going to listen to us. And then you say, Pastor, that doesn't sound like the God. Yeah, don't get me wrong. We can always get right with God. We're only one repentant heart away from God, and we can confess our sins, and we're faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we can get back in fellowship with God. But sin separates us from God. Answer prayer is not getting God to come around to our way. That's what Saul's doing. Saul, at this moment in time, would have been willing to offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. It says he went to the prophets. He couldn't hear from anybody. No one was getting a response from God. He was willing to pay whatever he had to pay in this religion game. But that's not what prayer is about. When we pray, God, we're not trying to get our will done in heaven. What God is trying to do is get his will done on earth. And what God many times will begin to do is change our hearts, attitude, and spirit to his direction. We desire from God what he desires from us. This is what we have to look at in our life. Am I going to live for God, or am I going to live for myself? When I look at things, and I was talking to somebody earlier in the week, and I just plainly put it, and when I was talking, he says, what are you going to do? And he or she began to give me different answers, and I just said to him, I said, look, what would God say about it? You know, this is how you feel, and I can understand the way you feel. I'm a man made out of flesh, and I understand the problems that flesh has, and we have our own desires. But am I going to live for me over here, or am I going to live for God? Because if God feels this way, then the choice is obvious. It's not always easy, but the choice is always obvious. There's usually no middle ground. I know there's no gray area with God, but you're saying, if you're looking and don't understand something, God will give you the leadership and the direction, the guidance. It is an easy choice. Usually, if we know what we're supposed to do, yes, the choice is whether or not we're going to do it. And it amazes me with how bad the world is getting, when how bad the families are getting apart, when how bad everything is that's going around here. We love to complain, and we love to worry, and we love to say, I don't know what's going on. But we're still not fortifying together. We're still not serving. We're still not consecrating ourselves and putting out our most effort for the Lord. We're still not doing as much as we can. We're still not praying as we should. Now, if you are, then you exclude yourself out of these sentences, but we're still not. America's probably worse off than any generation's seen it in a long time, than anyone that's ever seen it, even here, how the wickedness that avails around us. And what is it that we're doing to make a difference? You say, Pastor, I'm here. It's Wednesday night. I appreciate you being here, and you should be here. But what is it that you're doing differently to try to make a difference in this world? See, here the issue. God just would not hear from Saul. And the reason why is because Saul didn't inquire of him the right way. Take your Bibles. We're going to turn a lot tonight. We're going to get back, hopefully, if we get time, we're going to get back to the story. Saul seeks out this woman, and this woman brings up the familiar spirit, and they believe that they see somebody as representation of Samuel, whether it was Samuel or not Samuel, I have an opinion on it, and maybe we'll get back to it in time. We'll see how much time we have. But tonight, I'd really like to focus on God wasn't willing to listen or respond to Saul And I want to show you some reasons what the Bible says when God won't respond. Let's look here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, because I want you to read these things for yourself. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, we get a shortened story of Saul's life. And we see what is responded to him when it comes to the death of Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, let's look in verses number 13 and 14. 1 Chronicles, probably you go 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Look what that next phrase says. Inquired not of the Lord. But we saw back there in verse number 6 that he went and he was asking God. See, here's the differences. When we're stuck in sin and when we're living for ourselves and doing what we think is right and not living for God, that sin breaks our fellowship with God. And God's saying, I'm not going to be willing to hear from you. I'm not going to be willing to answer your prayers. And sin separates us. Sin keeps us from God answering. And you say, Pastor, we all have our problems. We all have our issues. We're all working on. Why is that such a big deal? Well, you think about it this way. When things get hard and things get tough, when your wife's sick, when your country's going bad, when your grandchildren are not living the way you want them to, or when your children aren't, or when a friend of yours is in a dire straits, or you have a great financial need, that's when the problem is. Is when you allow sin to stay in your lives and you need to get a hold of God. You can't get a hold of him because you got these things in your life before God. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God. I need to be able to have open communication. One of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is an open privilege to get to God and for God to listen to us and for God to answer us and for God to speak to us and for God to lead us and for God to direct us. But you see what it's saying about Saul and the story of Saul. Saul went to God, but he didn't go to him with a repentant heart. Everything was getting to be a mess and everything was getting to be so bad and the forces were stacking up. He knew his life hanged in the balance. He knew that he needed God. He knew that he had no other choice and no one else could help him but God. And he goes to God, but God doesn't listen. We need to keep these open communication lines. We need to hear from God. We need to have these lines open because you say, what's the big deal about me messing around with this or doing what I want here or messing with this sin? Well, you think about it. When dire straits come, who are you going to have to turn to? I get phone calls all the time. People say they're in dire straits. Their electricity is getting ready to turn off. Their heat's getting turned off. Somebody came to the church this past week, which really made me a little nervous because they usually don't come to the church and talk to us. And they sat across my desk and he says, look, I'm in dire straits. I have nowhere to turn. And then we talked for a few minutes and unfortunately, we just can't help. And I told him the same thing. He says, look, we don't have funds set aside for that. When our church family or somebody who regularly attends has a hardship, we try to help sometimes. So I says, but there's at times when I have to turn away some of the church family for reasons. And I said, so I'm not going to be able to help you. And he was nice about it. He said, thank you. But you know what that made me think of? He had nowhere else to turn. He says, my church, and he told me where his church was, and it was up in Portsmouth, and he lived here in Elizabeth City, and he was going to go to other churches to see if he'd get some help. But he said he was in dire straits. He had nowhere to turn. See, as a Christian, we always have a place to turn. But what about when God's not listening? What about when God isn't going to answer? There's some reasons for that. First thing I want you to look at is, next thing I want you to look at is Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. First point of it is reasons why God won't listen. And it's kind of the main point. There's a bunch of little points, is little sins. Well, you can't call them little sins, but sub-points underneath it are the different sins that God mentions to the Bible specifically that he will not listen. But any type of sin that we allow to be in our hearts and our life, then this is something that will break our fellowship and we're not going to be able to hear from God like we would like to. Look, God will not be willing to hear from us the way we are hoping he will. Isaiah chapter 59, the first point is sin keeps God from answering. Sin keeps God from answering. If you look in Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." So you're saying, Pastor, you're wrong. You see, God can hear, and God can save, but look what it says in verse number 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." See, this is the point here. Saul had so much in his life and so much sin in his life that when God, he didn't hear from God, he didn't wait from God, he didn't get things right, he didn't go to God and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm not hearing from you. There's something wrong in my life. Lord, search me, oh Lord, see what's wrong with me. Cleanse me, Lord." You know what he does? He takes off and goes right to the world. Takes off and goes to Satan. He goes to the witch. He goes to the lady who has this familiar spirit. Take your Bibles also and look into Proverbs chapter number 1. Once again, a lot of turning tonight, but these are verses that I think we need to reread for ourselves to see that I'm not making up what we're talking about here. Proverbs chapter number 1. Some people don't have their understanding of God, and they think that they can live whatever way they want and just expect God to be there when they snap their fingers, but God doesn't work that way. Proverbs chapter number 1, you look at verse number 24, it says, "Because I have called, and ye refuse." Now look, God called. And Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1, God is able. He does everything he can to help us. Saul, he set a humble man up to the great position in the nation of Israel as king. He was there and he helped him. God is not giving up on you. He says, "Because I have called, and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand." He's saying, "Look, I've done what I was supposed to, and I even extended my own hand, but no man regardeth, and no man regardeth. But ye have said in naught all my counsel." Didn't listen to a word he was saying, and would none of my reproof every time he tried to rebuke them. But listen what it says in verses 26 to 31. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me." And this is exactly what happened to Saul. Is the destruction and the everything was headed his way. Then he called him, but he says in verse number, "Then shall they call upon me," in verse 28, "but I will not answer. They shall seek me early," which means that they're going to listen to the way God says and the idea of how to do it, "but they shall not find me." Why is that? "For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Now, I don't want you to get something wrong here. Once again, thankfully, with God, we can get right. You can get right in your seat. You can get right. You come to the altar and you confess and leave it before God, and you can have that fellowship restored, and God will hear your prayers and answer your prayers. What greater thing can you have? But if we refuse and we continue to live in sin, God's just not going to hear you. And you say, "Why is that a big deal?" Well, it became a big problem for Saul, and can become a big problem for us too. Think about it. There are times we should always know that each step of each day we need to be living for the Lord, and we need God's help every single day of the way. But I tell you, there's things on our prayer list, and there's things on our prayer sheets, and there are things that are just bolded, highlighted, crossed under 3 or 4 times because this is something that is desperate and we need it. And then that's when it becomes the problem. When the hard time comes, you're going to wish that you would have been in fellowship with God. Listen, Psalm 68:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalms 139, verses 23 through 24 teaches us to pray as the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try my ways. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." But that is a psalm that says, "Look, Lord, look in my heart. If there's something in my heart that's between me and you, then let's get it right." But most American Christians in this year that we live in and in this century all have some type of sin in their hearts and all have some type of sin in their lives, and they just allow it to stay there. And they don't think anything of it. That's why we need to go to God and say, Lord, search me. I don't want sin to break my fellowship with you. I don't want anything to clog up the communication lines. We've been talking about motivations on Sunday night. We talk about glorifying God. We talk about the love of Christ. This past week, we talked about the family. But what a great motivation to stay right. I mean, what greater motivation do we need than to stay right with God, because we need God to hear our prayers? I don't know about you. I need God to hear my prayers. I need to hear from God. And I have a job that affects others. Decisions we make are decisions that will last for a lifetime, that people will judge decisions that are made at our church. They'll look at it and they'll say things that happened back at our church 20 years. And I remember 20 years ago, that church did this. You know, that's not like at other parts, in other families. They can make decisions, things will be forgotten, things will be forgotten. But at a church, yeah, they did this. And they, you know, I still go to knock on people's doors and he says, oh yeah, that's that church that does this. And it's been years since, I've never even heard of what they're talking about. But people will remember that. Let's look at some of the different things that God says that will keep God from answering. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter number 14. If you're still in Isaiah, it's only a few books over. Ezekiel chapter number 14. What's some of the reasons why God won't answer, that keeps God from answering? Ezekiel chapter number 14 speaks about idols. Idolatry will keep God from answering. You say, Pastor, I got you there. I do not have an idol in my house that I go home to, a statue in my house that I go home to and bow down to. I don't have that. You can clear cross that one off. I can tune you out. See, idolatry is not just people that bow down to statues. If that was the case, then we would be, most of us would be okay. Idolatry is when somebody puts something before God. You can put your family before God, and your family could be an idol for you. The story is told about a missionary who was out on the field, and they were there with a family from America, and they were traveling around, I think it was India, and they went to a place where they were worshiping this big idol. And the missionary is there with this American couple, this American family. As they walked away, the wife turns around and says, so when's the next time you get to come back to America? And it's in their mind, and probably in all our minds, is that every missionary wants to get back to America. But, you know, many times these missionaries' hearts are in the places where they're at, and that's where they want to be. And sometimes they don't even come off the field for 20 years. Yes, sir. But the missionary turned around and said, and this woman said, he said something that surprised me and shocked me so much. He says, I can't go back to America. He says, there's too much idolatry. And this woman says, you just watched people bow down to this big giant idol, and you're saying you can't go back to America because there's too much idolatry? And he says, that's idolatry. And he says, well, here it's easy to recognize. You see that. He says, but people in America, they bow down all over the place. Now, they might not get on their knees, and they might not go say seances. He says, that TV. He says, people just bow down to that. They rather watch the TV than read their Bible. So they rather watch TV than go to church. And he says, they put that TV before God. He says, that's one of the greatest idols. And then he says, then you got these sports teams. Don't get me wrong, I like sports. I don't, they need to have, sorry. He says, but you have these sports teams. And he says, people make millions and millions of dollars that would help society so much. And he says, and people go there and they cheer and they chant and they wear the uniforms. And he says, and no matter what, it's, nothing is going to get in their place of their sport. They're going to give up their work. They're going to give up their money. They're going to give up their church. They're going to do everything they can to be able to be there for that sporting event. He says, that's their God. And he says, then you begin to think about entertainment. You look at these people that are idolized and moved to the top of the list. Not because they want to worship the Lord or serve the Lord. It's because of the fact they can sing a song, or because they can act, or because of how beautiful they look. He says, idolatry is everywhere in America. And everybody wants to be an idol. They even have a show named American Idol. And all these different things. He says, your land is filled with idolatry. My land, they worship idols. But your land, idolatry is everywhere on every corner. You know, as we look at these verses, If we have something that's before our hearts, before God, it could be our families, it could be our TVs, it could be our jobs, it could be our friendships, it could be relationships. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But when we put them before God, God says, I'm just not going to be able to answer you. Let's look here in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. Now look at this. It does not say that they set them up on their posts, on their mantles. They didn't say that they put them up on a pedestal. It's just because they put them in their heart. There was something in their heart that got higher priority than God. They said, hey, I know what it's wrong. I know that God should have first place, but hey, I don't really care. I want this to have first place. And that's what he says. They put it in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Look what it says in verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You know, what he's saying here is like, go to your idols. Answer them. Let them ask. Let them take care of you. See, Christian, idolatry will keep God from answering. They're setting up idols. Should they expect to come to me and inquire of me with these idols and these stumbling blocks in their heart? And that's what he's saying. What right do they have? Why do I have to answer them when they have this idolatry in their heart? These stumbling blocks all over the place. And you're saying to me that I should hear and then I should answer? Let's keep on going. I know don't have a lot of time tonight. Go ahead and go to the New Testament. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. An unforgiving spirit keeps God from answering. Mark chapter number 11. It says, unforgiving spirit keeps God from answering. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. How does that work? Well, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be a forgiving people. And if we have something in our heart that's built up that we refuse to forgive, you know what that means? We have a sin in our heart that we put before God. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, which means I know there's something wrong in my heart, the Lord says, I'm just not going to hear from you. So what we need to understand is that we must be willing to forgive others. That way God will be able to hear from us and be able to heal us and heal our lands too. Now, you say, how do we apply that in our words today? Well, I tell you, one of the things that work best, I know we've probably mentioned over and over, if you have something, a hardship against somebody else, pray for them. It is very difficult. I found it impossible to pray for a person continually on a regular basis and still harbor a grudge or an unforgiving spirit to them. God can take your heart and he can make it work, and God can help you to get things right. Now, once again, the battle isn't between you and that person. The battle is between you and God. How you're going to do what he wants you to do. He wants you to forgive. He wants you to treat him a certain way. So the battle, you might say, okay, that person is my nemesis. That person grinds me the wrong way. They've said this. They've done this. I'm going to be out to get them. See, the battle is never between. The battle wasn't between David and Saul. The battle was between God and Saul and God and David. God took care of David as he responded right and he did what was right. When David became depressed, he went to the world. God no longer can take care of him. God no longer will hear from him. Like we said last week, no psalms were written during that time period. The battle wasn't between Saul and David. Saul took his eyes off of God, put them on David. And because of that, God begins, the battle is between those two. The person you're angry with, the person you're upset with, it's a battle between you and God. Am I going to do what God wants me to do? Even our children, you know, am I going to raise them the way that God wants me to? Well, they're doing this, this, and this. They're doing it against God before anything else. And they, God is the one that has to get them right. And that's the reason why we must be right, so that way God can hear and answer our prayers. So our side of the relationship is best and right. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And we don't have time to get into the whole prior passage, but 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that marital problems keeps God from answering. Marital problems keep God from answering. 1 Peter chapter number 3, you have a breakdown of how the wife and how the husband work together. We're not going to go through all that. I just want you to look in verse number 7 because of time's sake. But there is a lot that's given. There's more given to the wife here in this section than to the husband. But in verse number 7, you see the final result. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." And look at that next phrase. "That your prayers be not hindered." So if there's marital problems, and you see verses 1 through 6 talks about submission, talks about the role of the wife here more than it talks about the role of the husband. But in verse number 7, it puts things in perspective for the husband also, what the husband's supposed to be doing. If there's marital problems, God says, your prayers will be hindered. So what, you say? What happens when your kid gets sick? What happens when your grandkid gets sick? What happens when your loved one gets sick? Your wife that you're arguing with and bitter and against. What happens when they get sick? You want God to hear from you. But they're saying here that your prayers are going to be hindered. You can blame it on your wife as much as you want. You can blame it on your husband as much as you want. But if you want to have your prayers answered, you need to do these things. Marital problems keeps God from answering. Now, once again, you can be right with God, and your prayers can be heard, and your prayers can be answered, even if there is a mate that is away. And this is what the Bible is saying. Look, a godly mate can help win an unsaved mate, or one that's loving the Lord and living for the Lord can help one that is a backslidden. But we got to understand, we need to hear from God, and we need God's prayers answered, and we got to remove these sins out of our hearts, and we got to remove these sins out of our life so that God will be willing to hear and answer and help us. Now, God is able. Remember, we saw in 1 Isaiah, he said, look, my hand's not shortened, my ear's not broken. He says, it's your sins and your iniquities that have caused me not to be able to answer your prayers the way I want to. Let's keep on going. And let's look here at a lack of faith keeps God from answering. The book of James is just probably a few pages over. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. A lack of faith keeps God from answering also. A lack of faith. James chapter number 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, I don't know about you, but you put my name right there. When Pastor Pease lacks wisdom, which is often, he says, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And there you go. We love to quote that verse, don't we? If you don't know what to do, guess what? Go ask God. And that is scripture. That is good. But you can't miss out verse number 6. Yes. What's it say in verse number 6? But let him ask in faith. You got to believe God's going to give you the answer. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You can't go to God saying, hey, God, I need wisdom here. I need guidance here. I need your leadership here. And did not have the faith that God's going to give it to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A lack of faith keeps God from answering. But I went to God. I prayed to God about it. Did you believe he was going to answer you? Because if you believe, you know what you would keep on doing? You would keep on praying and seeking God until you got clear direction. Last but not least, let's look in the book of Proverbs if you like to, or you can just listen. Proverbs chapter 21. Ignoring the needs of others keeps God from answering. Proverbs chapter 21. Ignoring the needs of others keeps God from answering. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And he said, Pastor, earlier you told us a story about a guy who had a need and you wasn't able to help. Did you stop his ears? So you got to be a wise steward here. You got to be able to line things up. You got to be able to understand and be able to do research and understand what's going on in people's lives to be able to determine and let the Lord lead you on who you can help and who you can't help. I know people out there that will go and ask the church for money in a second, but would never ever consider selling something they had, or consider working some extra hours, or consider getting a job, or consider doing a variety of different things that could help them. And this poor that's speaking of here is a person who is truly in need, who is crying out for help. And when somebody comes and asks, we tell them to go to the food bank. We've gone to the food bank and taken them there. We've helped them get food so that way they can have things to eat, so that way we give them the different avenues that they can do things. And would it be nice if we could help everybody? Obviously. But see, God has not made us a depository. He doesn't want to just give us things for us to hold to ourselves. I believe he wants us to make us something that channels the blessings of God in our lives. Channel things that through our giving and through our mission giving, and channel things by seeing people that are in need and helping others. There's many times, and I'm not saying this to try to toot my own horn, there is many times when people say no and they come to the church. I know the church can't help, but the Lord leaves my own heart to give something out of my own pocket because I see there's a need there, but I'm not going to use the Lord's money for it, but the Lord leads my heart to do it. Then that's something I would consider doing. And there's other times when we try to help others. Don't stop your ears. Have a direct line to God. Let God lead you and direct you in this. The Bible does talk about helping the poor, helping the widows, helping those that are fatherless. Has God trusted you with something? Of course he has. This trust is sacred. God expects us to do what we can in his name to help those that are in need too. So don't take what you guess at what you have and hoard it and think that I don't have a responsibility to help anyone. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible just tells us to be wise stewards, to help where we can, help which ways we can. And So I just want to encourage you with that too, because the Bible, God gives us things. I think he gives it to us to be able to help others. Now, remember, we came in this world one way, we're going to leave this world another way, and the only treasures we're taking with us is the ones we lay up in heaven. So if God speaks to our heart about being helpful to somebody else, let's do that too. But let's get back to the whole idea of this. Don't we need to hear from God? Don't we really, truly need to have that open line of communication? Saul, in the most distressful, the most discouraged time in his life, the most fearful time in his life, he goes to God. When times are hard, and times are tough, he's overwhelmed. But see, he never went to God any of those other times. He goes to God, and the Bible says the Lord didn't answer him. What keeps God from answering your prayers? Is there something in our hearts and our lives that we need to get right to make sure we have open communication? We don't like to hear doctrines like this, to be honest with you. This is not a fun one to talk about. It's not a fun one to preach. But you see, Saul got so desperate, he turns to God, and God just doesn't hear. Pastor, doesn't God always, God promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he can't do the work he wants to do in your life when you have sin in your heart. We don't like to hear that. It says, Pastor, I got my sin, I got my problems, just let me deal with it. We all have that. Then what's the big deal? The big deal is when we don't have that open communication to God. What the big deal is when we want to hear from God and God just will not answer. Let me encourage you tonight as we get ready to go to invitation time. Think about this. There's something in your heart or something in your life that you've put before God, as we talked about those idols, an unforgiving spirit, a heart to somebody else, a problem inside your marriage because of the way that you're acting or treating, someone that you need to help, that you're refusing to help, or any type of sin, because the original one began in Isaiah chapter 59. It was our iniquities, whatever they were, that was stopping God from doing what he wants to in our lives. And as I mentioned, it amazes me and convicts me in the same time that if the world has gotten so bad and so wrong, and we're headed such a pathway, why aren't we doing more? instead of doing less? Why aren't we trying harder? Why aren't we working towards a more spiritual? Why aren't we reading our Bibles even more? Why aren't we praying even more? Why aren't we memorizing Scripture even more? Why aren't we telling more people about the Lord? Why aren't we attending church more often? But that's not what it seems like it's happening. You know what seems like it's happening? We're becoming less and less and less committed. It's nothing to miss church. Nothing to not read our Bible. Nothing not to spend a whole day and not pray to God. Nothing to not to miss doing what He's called us to do. Why is that? Shouldn't we inspire to do more? I tell you, I need to hear from God. And these are some reasons why God won't answer and why God won't listen. Hopefully you took some notes there and you go read these things for yourself and come to your own conclusion that God wants to help us. Don't get me wrong. The great thing is you can come forward. You can do it at your own seat. If there's something in your heart, you can confess it and be honest before God and say, God, I want to confess and forsake it. God says you're going to have mercy. The communication lines are open again. Does that mean you're going to get your prayers answered just like that? No, that means that God now has an opportunity to work in your heart what He wants to do in your life. Once again, our job and our prayers are not trying to get God's will, our will done in heaven. Our prayers are to try to get God's will done here on earth with our lives. Let's go ahead and pray.